Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 246 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And happy new year, 2021. It's been about a month since I put one of these out. I have been dealing with a bunch of stuff, but I wanted to get this out. This one is with Ronnie Evans and Philip Mosley from Blue Oak Barbecue in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I think I said that correctly. We go over how to say it properly. I grew up going to Disneyland, and it was always called, our family called it New Orleans Square, where the Haunted Mansion and all that stuff is. So New Orleans, and this was done in September, so it's a few months late, but nothing has changed in regards to their story. They've known each other since grammar school, and they've always wanted to do something. So it's pretty amazing, number one, that they're friends from grammar school, and they have a very successful barbecue spot in New Orleans that I've only heard amazing things about. They're open 7 days a week now, but it's interesting. So we talk about that progression and all the different steps they had to go through. And I think you'll find it really intriguing. And if you're thinking in the back of your mind that you want to open a restaurant or a barbecue spot, I think this would give you some good pointers. And they were able to kind of hone their skills before they got a brick and mortar. And you'll learn about that. We also learned, I was curious as to if there's anything from when they were younger, when they were imagining having a dive bar or a restaurant, if they had anything that they wanted to have specifically at that. And so they do have something, and they talk about that. We also go over what they've done to shift and change and progress during the pandemic, which POS system they use. And I'm actually going to be doing an interview with that company that does the POS system to help maybe give you guys some more options for if you're a restaurateur and you're listening to this. But overall, their menu's awesome. They're doing specials all the time. They're extremely creative, super nice guys, super cool guys. I can't say enough, and I've only heard great things from so many people about them. So if you visit or you're near New Orleans, you have to give them a visit. I know you can't go wrong, and I thank them so much for taking the time, and I apologize to them for the delay, but it's all topical, it's all wonderful. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. They're based out of Luling, Texas. Michael Johnson, he's been doing this since he was a kid too, and he is a master at what he does. He's put out some great, great pits so far. His lead time's 4 to 5 months. He's done pits for Mo Kaysen, 2 for Ronnie Killen, tons of others. I'll put links to all of his stuff below. You have to check them out. Give them a DM. Best way to get a hold of them is at @Centex_smokers. That's at @CENTEX_smokers. Check out. You can see all of his new work. He puts a lot of creative stuff on there too, so you'll really dig it. Again, Centex Smokers. And we're also brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're based out of Dripping Springs, Texas. Another Texas spot. They do bourbon, rye, gin, ton of stuff. Mixed drinks now that they sell in bottles. They also have a physical location in Dripping Springs, 26 acres, beautiful property, a barbecue joint called Alice's On Location, where you can try everything that they have, as well as wonderful barbecue by Scott Foley and his group. You really, really got to check them out. They're also available online at treatyoakdistilling.com, Treaty Oak Distilling. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. Also, do the bell notification. That way, you get notified when I do new ones of these. I have a ton coming out, like boom, 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 right after this. So I've been taking this break, but I have been editing in the meantime. So check back. There's a lot of fun stuff, a lot of creative, different things that I'm trying to give you the gamut of everything in the barbecue world. So you get a chance to see and hear a lot of new stuff coming 2021. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I've been putting together these lists that I think you might enjoy. There's a list on what knives barbecue joints use. I've been pestering barbecue joints and owners about what knives they use. There's, I think, over 150, 170 of those. And then I have a second list on sharpeners and honing tools that they use, which would be, I think, super useful. It's really creative, really interesting. Anything from a belt sander to whetstones to honing tools. So links to all that stuff, as well as third one, which is on cutting boards and the blocks that people use. So that one's coming out too. So you'll have all three of those. So I'm just trying to be as much a resource as I can for you guys. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying sane. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, how are you guys doing today?
We're good. It's really dreary. It's been very dreary here the last couple days. We got this big storm that's kind of on the Texas, Louisiana coast. It's just been like misting for the last 3 or 4 days.
Really?
So it's kind of cooler, but it's kind of gross outside. So.
And the Saints lost last night, so we're all depressed.
I'm sorry about that. I know that's probably more important than anything, right?
Yeah, that was ugly, and the mood in the city changes based on what the Saints are doing. So losses don't permeate well in the city.
You know, that's kind of like in the '80s or the '90s, actually, for the Lakers when the Lakers would lose, the whole city would just, it would just be this so somber. And I don't think in LA it doesn't matter anymore. Like, there's too many options and too many things going on, but that's specific to you guys. So with these hurricanes that are coming through or tropical storms, there's a bunch, right? Like, are they, has any of these, this latest batch come that close to you guys? Is it more the outer bands or?
We've been feeling it, but nothing too crazy. We were under flash flood warning the last 2 days for I guess was a beta. We really haven't felt much besides like some windy mist. It's just ugly. It feels like Seattle over here or something.
I'm sorry.
We've been fortunate though. I mean, we closed one day for that last storm and just to prepare and be cautious and
Sally,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we didn't, I mean, maybe a few leaves fell and that was about it.
These storms are super unpredictable. And like every summer for us along the coast, like the whole coast, it's like every, you know, every week or so, you're kind of watching these storms and everyone's paying attention. And it's kind of like, it's like watching the news. Like, it's just part of your life. Like, what, like kind of watching these storms. And the last 10, 15 years, it's gotten way busier. Like, they're in the Greek alphabet because they ran out of...
That's what I heard last night. That's so...
Yeah, they ran out of the alphabet, so they moved on to the Greek alphabet. So now we're on the beta, and I'm sure we'll get a few more letters.
That's just so great. Did you guys both grow up in... pronounce it correctly. Is it New Orleans or New Orleans or...
It's New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. Yeah.
The mayor likes to say it differently, but... it's New Orleans.
New Orleans.
So if you want to sound like you're from here, don't say Nollins or New Orleans. It's New Orleans.
New Orleans. I'll try my best. I'm sure I'll mispronounce it when I do the intro, so that'll be good. That'll make it. I'll actually try to listen to this part a number of times. But did you guys grow up in and around New Orleans?
Yeah, we did. We both did. We met in grammar school and been friends ever since.
What's the odds of that working out?
It's hard to say. I mean, I got kicked out of my school, my elementary school, which is a pretty rare feat and challenging to do, you'd think. But I got kicked out of that school and then went over to where Phil was in school. And we met in like sixth grade and we became friends like immediately. And, you know, we always had this like dream that we'd like one day open a bar or a restaurant, and it kind of came to fruition like over 8 years ago.
Is it at all like what you guys had imagined as kids?
I think, honestly, that's a good question. One of the things I think we both knew early on was that we wanted red cream soda on the fountain.
Ah.
Bark's red cream soda. And the day we got that, we celebrated.
That's cool.
And we've never wavered. Like, it's always, we like our favorite restaurants in town, like always had it on fountain. And like, we'd never waver and be like, how about we get like, you know, Dr. Pepper? And it's like, no, red cream soda stays. Like, it's as important as like Coke or Sprite or whatever.
That's and, cool. So that's like a big nod to you guys being kids. And maybe that'll like keep you guys maybe kids at heart, maybe in a way.
Yeah.
But you guys started with it wasn't a bar. Was it a Grits place or it was called Grits or something? Or was that
called Grits? And it was a super late night dive bar, been around for a long time, and the guy just so happened to have a vacancy in this kitchen he just kind of built out, and it was probably like 2 weeks after we had bought our first smoker, and we didn't really know where we were gonna end up, but we did, I guess, two pop-ups. We did one at like a friend's house, cooked for maybe 20-30 people. That was our very first gig, and then we got a gig at another bar down the street to do like their 5-year anniversary. Huh. So we did a barbecue thing there. And then luckily we asked Grits and it worked out.
Were you a bar with a barbecue component or just the bar?
It was just food to support the bar. Oh. Like, we were kind of an afterthought. It's like, oh wow, I'm drunk and it's 3 a.m. There's food here. So, you know, let's get some food. It was always like a late night bar. It was open 7 days a week, but only the real busy hours were Friday, Saturday, Sunday from like 12 a.m. to 5 a.m. And all the other time we'd sell like a pork sandwich and a cheeseburger. And during those like 5 hours or so on the weekend, that's when we were really busy. And all of our friends would go there. so we'd be drinking and serving food at the same time.
What year was that?
That was 2012. I would easily say that was the toughest year of Blue Oak's career, because we didn't make any money. We worked long hours, drank quite a bit, and it was grueling. It was really tough, and we learned a lot, and we had some, you know, good comeuppance from it. But it was really challenging, and to sit here now and reflect on it is kind of,
yeah, eight years later. What do you think your biggest mistakes were? Drinking too much? Drinking at all? I don't know. I'm kidding.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say that. And it's hard to remember, honestly, but I think we were always under the impression that we were just, our focus was forward, and we were always just going to keep pushing, finding the next best thing. And, you know, we wrote it out for about a year. Those were, like Ronnie said, there's some dark days. It kind of just one of those things we knew, like, all right, what's next? Like, we gotta step it up. We got to move out of here and find the next, you know, the next venture. The next chapter in Blue Oak's book. But we were fortunate simultaneously, like right when we were wanting to get out, another kitchen opened up, which was our second stint at a music venue called Chickiwawa.
I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah. And then that was much more of what we were looking for at the time. You know, we were able to build like a clientele there and actually do some normal hour cooking as opposed to like late night cheese fries and stuff like that. So yeah, it was certainly a good stepping stone to the next phase.
Was that your own place, or were you again kind of working out of another kitchen? And
it was like the same thing. It was like a music club that they needed space, they needed food to sell, and we were available. We were trying to move on. So it was, you know, it was another thing where we were just kind of like supplementing the bar that was already existing.
Where did you get your pit, or did you have it built by somebody?
In Gulf Shores, Alabama, or just outside of Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is about 3 hours from here. We bought like this kind of reverse flow barrel smoker from some like guy we found on Craigslist.
And always Craigslist.
Yeah, right. we went down there, bought the pit, came back and started getting to it.
And then do you guys just learn how to like learn by burning a bunch of stuff, or by just kind of trial and error? Do you guys travel places to try barbecue?
Well, we first started, we kind of got our feet wet and learned some of the basics at another barbecue joint in Colorado, Fort Grits. And then, yeah, we both lived in Vail for a while.
That's nice.
But that's kind of the beautiful thing about our first and second stints at Grits and then Chickiwawa, you know, which we didn't really realize until later on, that it was kind of the perfect, we couldn't have figured a better way to really hone in our skill and like practice, and without really having to worry about, you know, a real brick and mortar at the time.
That's true.
It was kind of like, I don't know. It was like training wheels on steroids. Kind of, we were able to do so much and really, you know, practice on people and really get one-on-one feedback and constantly, you know, our goal was always to be better than the day before. So
that definitely helps. Like not having that stress on your shoulders, that specific type of stress.
Yeah. Okay. And we were able to run it just us two for a very long time. So, you know, we didn't have to worry about paying other people. We were just both still living at home
with our parents. We're still living with our parents.
making it work. Maybe that's another reason why it was not the best.
A lot of our success could definitely be attributed to our parents like housing us for the first 4 or 5 years.
What were they thinking? Were they thinking you guys are crazy, or we want to do whatever you guys can do to make it work?
They were supportive. I mean, the whole time, you know, like I would come home and I'm sure Phil probably had the same experience, but I'd, you know, I'd complain to my dad or my mom and be like, you know, we were there for 12 hours and we sold like $90 in food. It's terrible. And my dad or my mom would just be like, just keep going and, you know, keep at it and whatever, you know, just supportive. They weren't trying to like, you know, make it worse. They're just trying to support you so you can, you know, just keep trying to get at it. So they were supportive. I mean, yeah. you know, my dad was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. So I think like they just understand that like beginning is super hard and you just got to stay with it and get, you know, just work hard and hopefully it'll pan out.
Yeah. And as long as you're doing it with, you know, using your heart and your passion, like it's something it's, you're not just phoning it in, then it's going to work. It should work, or you have more potential for it to work. When did you get the transition? I was reading online a couple of weeks ago. Did you guys move locations? Have you moved locations since you became Blue Oak?
We were Blue Oak at Grits.
Blue Oak at Grits. Okay.
Yeah, we were just kind of, we always had our eyes open looking for a place. And, you know, there were times we found something that was really cool and we were about to bite on it or something and it went wrong. And, you know, in hindsight, it was like the perfect thing. Like kind of what I was touching on before, you know, if we jumped in too early, we probably wouldn't be here today.
How did you find the place?
One of our customers was a realtor.
That's cool.
And he called Ronnie one day. You know, and we FaceTimed him and he's walking around the property and we were both like, holy shit, that place is awesome. That's going to work. And I think we felt it and we never looked back after that.
Wow. Yeah. And it's funny because quick story, the guy who owned the building, we approached him about leasing and he was like, we've tried barbecue. Like it wouldn't work here. You know, could just kind of wave this off. And then he sold it. And the guy that bought it was like, yeah, we'll do barbecue. Like, let's do it. So it really worked out. Like there's all these things and like it's like this weird how the universe works. Like all these things kind of played a role in how we got to where we are today talking to you. Like just the landlord and like the comeuppance of like Grits and Chickiwawa and us meeting in elementary school. Like it's just all this crazy thing.
When you look back at stuff like that, it's kind of hard to put your head around to think like all these things had to actually happen to come where you're sitting right now talking to some guy in California about your restaurant. Now, what was did you get a chance to really build out the restaurant the way you wanted to?
For the most part, you know, we were still on a budget. The beauty about Chickiwawa and living at home, we were able to save as much as we could. But still, so to backtrack a little bit, we got the lease in March of 16. And Jazz Fest is typically the last weekend of April, first weekend of May. And
that's huge.
Walking distance. And we had the goal, we're like, we have to open by Jazz Fest. So we flipped this Italian Mediterranean kind of, you don't know what it was, restaurant into a barbecue place in about less than 6 weeks, maybe.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's stories like the floor guys messed up, but the window was like 2 days from opening and it needs an entire day and a half to cure. So we had to get it restripped. And to this day, we've never redone the floor because of that. We've been open every day since.
So for 4 years, you've had the floor not the way, exactly the way you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really tight window and it's like still shocking to think about 6 weeks being able to go from one restaurant to a completely different concept in that short period of time was like kind of amazing.
But Jazz Fest brings in tens of thousands of people.
It's like hundreds.
Like, yeah. Well, I know people, I have relatives that go or that used to go almost every year. And it's not just jazz for people who there's all types of music, but it's centered around jazz. But like anyone from like, I know like Dave Matthews to like other jam bands to other, like there's a huge mix of people. Well, was it overwhelming then when the crowds came in? Were you ready for that?
No, we were not ready at all. I mean, we went from serving like on busy days, we'd serve 50 people to 500 people. And that's not even an exaggeration.
No, I can imagine.
Like the flip of a switch. And it was like, holy cow. Like we're trying to be open all day. We had to like take a break in between the day, like lunch and dinner. And like, there was just no stop. Like once we opened, it was like a line out the door until we closed or sold out. And it was like the first 6 months was just a whirlwind of like business and trying to figure out things and adapt. And like, we didn't have a dishwasher. We needed dishwashers. We needed more people. We needed better, more equipment and smokers. And like, we just like the first 6 months was just crazy trying to adapt and figure out how to feed this many people in such a short period of time.
Yeah, that must have been insane. And but also too, must have been a nice validation that you actually, like, people are coming and eating our food and we can make this work. Yeah. You, just, you needed four of you guys, that's all.
Yeah. it hit us like a ton of bricks. We were here from, we were lighting fires at 7 a.m. and we didn't get home till like midnight every day for like a year.
You put your head down and wake up and it's like you're back again, Nick.
Yeah, good. And you know, we had a ton of people that helped us pull it off. You know, we couldn't do it without a lot of our employees. That some are still with us.
That's cool.
Some were with us for, you know, 4 years, even at Chickiwawa. And there's a lot of moving parts that helped us get us here, you know, and there's so many stepping stones along the way that we couldn't do without.
What were you serving at the beginning?
You know, we were serving pretty much, the menu's fairly similar to where it is now. Like we got brisket, sausage, chicken, chicken quarters. We do like smoked wings, that. And then we had like a bunch of sides. We did barbecue beans, which were just smoked beans. We did roasted garlic mac and cheese, ginger sesame slaw, chili glazed Brussels sprouts, which is like, when that you ask someone good. About Blue Oak, usually they don't talk about like the brisket that took 15 hours. They talk about the Brussels sprouts that were thrown in the fryer for 30 seconds. So that, and then like some other apps and stuff. And it's kind of developed quite a bit since then, but you know, most of the same stuff we've been serving the whole time.
The cooker that you have, you said you added a smoker?
Yeah. Since day one, we've got probably six now. But one of them's the barrel that we started with. The other one's like a whole hog cooker. And then we have three big ones that are here on site working every day.
They offsets?
We have two Southern Prides and Old Hickory.
Wow.
They're not as sexy, but they get the job done.
No, I know. And I worked at a place in Los Angeles that we had an old hickory. And if you treat it the proper way, then you're cooking, you can get really good food out of it. Amazing. It's not, I know there's that, like that stigma that it's a set and go, but it's not. You have to pay attention. You have to know what the hell you're doing. It's not.
We have guys, we've made a lot of friends with the barbecue community over the years. You know, like we're really close to like Fijus and Home Team and
Evan
and Hoodoo Brown and, you know, Sweet. Leroy and Lewis, like everybody, like we've made so many friends over the years and they all come through and they love the food. So that kind of validates like that we're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. What's the climate like there? Are you guys at 25% capacity or even 50 or?
Man, honestly, I don't even know if we know anymore.
Like it changes so often?
Some sort of like 25 to 50% indoor. And then I think outdoor is like 50% or no, 100, but all the tables got to be 6 feet apart. So really we had to take away some tables, but we adapted and took over the parking lot, put a big tent over it, and added what, 80 seats over there.
Well, that's smart. Do you guys have pretty cold winters?
Nah, and they don't last too long either. We'll get cold days. I mean, you know, it's real humid down here, so sometimes it can really sting, but I mean, it doesn't last long.
So you guys will be set for winter. Like if this thing persists and there's the spacing and all that stuff, like that outdoor area will help out a lot.
Yeah, we might want to. I was thinking about the other day, putting some walls up around them. They have those like, you know, plastic sheets. But yeah, as long as they'll let us for up the parking, we'll keep it rolling.
Yeah, we're a lot luckier than like some of our friends to the northeast and then other climates that are going to be like really brutal winters. Like the whole outdoor dining thing is going to
go
away. So it's a whole different scenario for them.
I've thought a lot about that, and I thought that it would be nice if somebody was stepping in from like maybe even the local government to help all these restaurants with coming up with plans to build stuff and then eventually you store it. And if maybe for the next pandemic, but at least something to help, because they're going to need the help. And restaurants are working on margins that aren't great, that they can just build things all the time. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of those places in like New York, I mean, they have 10 tables inside.
Yeah.
They're half capacity, you know, with no outside, it's unfortunate for them.
Did you guys have online ordering prior to the pandemic?
No, we just added, we didn't have any online ordering. It was just like order by phone or come in, because like we had a hard enough time taking phone orders like the first 3 or 4 years we're operating, like we didn't start taking phone orders for the first 3 years.
Wow.
4 years. And then once the pandemic happened, we use this POS system Toast.
Yeah.
And they had all these systems in place to kind of facilitate this whole transition. So you could order online, and then they introduced like delivery, kind of like white box delivery that you could get straight through our website. So we added all those things like very quickly after the pandemic. So the pandemic was brutal, but we were able to like salvage business and keep people hired and keep the boat going forward.
That is really nice. Yeah, I noticed that you guys had Toast, and I was thinking, like, as I was looking at your website this morning, I was thinking I should reach out to somebody maybe from Toast, because still people are having trouble with on. Like, I think it would be just to, like, as a public service thing, just to say, hey, these are the things we offer, just a quick little 5-minute interview just to help people out, because Toast seems like it's a pretty simple concept, right? Is it pretty easy to use?
I think Toast is the bell cow of like the POS system.
Okay.
It's about as good as it gets, and they're always making things better and improving, and like the things that they did during the pandemic, and they waived a lot of fees, and
that's cool.
Toast at, but it was they were awesome.
And you could do gift cards with them too, right?
Yep, you can. And like hard cards.
So you guys have that, right?
Yep.
Okay, because I want to make sure I put links to all that. Is there, and I noticed too that, because I was actually shopping your sauces. You have a lot of sauces.
Yeah, we got quite a few. I mean, we have three like staple barbecue ones that we keep on the table.
Okay.
A house, a jerk, and a spicy Carolina, kind of a vinegar base. The jerk one's kind of like a Caribbean style. And house is kind of a middle of the road, kind of like not too sweet, not too spicy or anything, kind of goes well with everything. And then we have maybe 4 or 5 wing sauces, a ranch.
Oh, okay. That's what they are.
Brussels sprout sauce, the chili glaze you can order too.
So was that like the merch and the sauces and the gift cards, are those things that you want? Like, you know, you're not begging for people, but those things help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like during pandemic time, like we were just promoting like, hey, we have this shirt, you know, these shirts or these sauces, and we were getting a ton of orders. Like our office would be filled with boxes, like ready to get shipped out, like all over the country, like California and the Northeast. Nice. And we had a couple in Canada. Like it was just like kind of cool. Crazy, the outpour of like support. People were just trying to help, you know, in like any way and maybe get a little something in return. So it was nice.
Yeah, no, I think that's, and I think too, we don't know if there's going to be like a little second wave that'll hit. So I'll make sure that I have all those resources for people, because I think, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you stay around, you stick around. It seems like, I think you'll be better suited for something if it happens in a couple months. Again, you're open 7 days a week, right?
Yeah, we just started 7 days a week on Labor Day. So we were closed Mondays. And now we're rolling 7 days. I think the transition's been pretty good. Labor Day was certainly an expensive day, and it just so happens a lot of those holidays land on Monday, so we were missing out on a lot of barbecue days.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Memorial Day, Labor Day. I think we had 4th of July.
Don't they celebrate President's Day on a Monday? Don't they?
I think they. Yeah, you're right.
I think so. I never really think about it, but it's probably, yeah, it's important. But is that tough for you? Do you guys stagger your own shifts? Are you guys both there all the time?
We're kind of just here all the time, in and out all the time. We've got a great crew and a lot of great managers. So we've given them a lot of kind of power to kind of do things on their own, which has worked out really well. But I mean, Ronnie and I are pretty vigilant about, we're kind of sticklers about a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
We've always got our eyes open.
We don't spend nearly as much time in the kitchen as we used to, like barely any at all. But we kind of empower like our chefs and cooks to kind of promote specials and create specials, because we're very like special heavy. It's how we kind of keep people interested in the culinary scene that New Orleans is. And so we're always trying to like innovate and come up with new ideas, and it's been good.
Yeah, your Instagram feed is full of really cool new stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of how we, that's like, we probably don't post enough barbecue pictures, and And we do, like, because the specials are always coming, we have some, like, every day, like, different ones every day and sides and whatever. So that kind of fills up all the content. Yeah, we're very special heavy.
No, well, that's good. Then that's all. And as things go with traveling, people will be coming back from that. You know, it'll, like, having specials is cool for travelers and people that are, like, tourists. Are you, how far, like, say you flew into, where do you fly into for New Orleans? Is it? What's the airport called?
So MSY.
MSY. So
it's a different parish. It's like 20-minute drive, maybe. Okay. It would take some traffic, which is the opposite end of downtown also. We're closer to downtown. So if you were staying in the French Quarter or something, you could actually take the streetcar straight to our front doorstep.
How long would that take you?
Probably like a 20 minutes, 30 minutes,
yeah.
Yeah, but it would be a cool journey, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. Sure. I mean, if anyone's visiting New Orleans for the first time, I would tell them, like, to hop on a streetcar and just, like, go. Because, like, yeah. Usually when people are visiting, it's nice outside. And the streetcar, like, if you go on St. Charles, you see all the beautiful home, the oak trees. And then if you're downtown, you can take the streetcar all the way down Canal, which is, like, a nice run. And you can just kind of explore and do it in a kind of unique way.
Do you guys live close to the restaurant?
Pretty close. It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're right down the street.
Everything in New Orleans is pretty close, but we love to complain that it takes a long time to get places. But in the grand scheme of things, we're nothing compared to, like, you know, going to Houston or something, where you're or probably maybe even where around you guys are. It takes like an hour.
Yeah, to get somewhere that's 20 miles away could take 2 hours. So that's not.
That's crazy.
But it's weird, though, since the pandemic, driving around, it's like driving around the 80s or late 70s, 80s or not. Like, it's starting, the traffic's coming back. So people are starting, but there was times where you could get somewhere, like, say it was 20 miles away, you can get there in 23 minutes. Like, it was, or 50, it was pretty amazing. It felt good. Like, this is what a real city should be like.
Yeah. I'm not jealous of the traffic at all.
No, don't be. No.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you guys mix things from, like, local ingredients, like things that are from the area, into your specials? Is that something you guys do too?
We do a little bit. You know, we'll do, like, we added crackling to the menu maybe a year and a half ago, which is kind of like a southern thing in Louisiana, Cajun country. We do, you know, red beans on Mondays is a very traditional New Orleans thing. We'll throw in gumbo, and, you know, we've got an okra dish now that's really fantastic. And there's a big Vietnamese presence here too. We'll do like brisket pho when it gets cold.
Oh, that's cool.
We like to keep it fun.
Yeah, we like try to introduce a little seasonality too. Like, you know, in the summer we ran a lot of tomato specials because our tomatoes in Louisiana are pretty awesome. Oh. We incorporate some like fresh strawberries sometimes. You know, we try to use like local ingredients as much as possible. There's a really cool farm here called Home Place Pastures, where, you know, kind of open range cows and like all pigs or cows and pigs and all sorts of different chicken, lamb, stuff like that. So we'll try to introduce some stuff like that on the weekends. And, you know, that's a really cool thing.
But, yeah, no, that's a really cool thing. Like, if you came later in the day, can you get a full menu, or do you sell out of the brisket pretty quick? Are there things that sell out quicker?
No, we try not to. That's kind of where we are. Central Texas barbecue to us was the gold standard, and I know they're pretty used to cooking as much as they can, and they're out by maybe 1-2 p.m. But we kind of always wanted to do a hybrid of that, and so we figured out a way to be able to stay open through dinner with just about everything. So if we do run out, we're not happy about it.
So you stagger your cooks and kind of make things work.
I mean, we're cooking ribs like 3-4 times a day. It just depends on the day.
Sometimes 5 times a day. Yeah. And like New Orleans, like, won't they don't understand the concept of running out of food. If you run out of food, they think you're underprepared. And it's like,
you don't know how to run your business.
Yeah, they don't understand that, like, you know, these ribs take 5 hours. Like, it's not like we can just throw some ribs on the grill and they're ready. Like, they take time, and once you're out, there's nothing you can do about it. So, and we want everything to be fresh every day. So we're not going to, like, serve you reheat crap from the day before. Like, we're just going to run out and start fresh.
So you just figured it out. You figured out a method that works for and like you kind of know what days are the crazier days.
Yeah, we have we try to set pars, and some days are crazier than others, and it's never perfect. You know, we run out of ribs probably more than anything, and it's just like, it's just waves. Brisket, we've gotten pretty tight on. You know, it's always tough.
We keep track. You know, we have logs to where we're looking at the year before, and we'll even get down to like checking the weather. Like, all right, brisket's like on that this time last year, but was it raining or was it good weather?
You can create like an almanac, a barbecue, like an almanac for New Orleans. So then can you order by the pound, or is it just plates and sandwiches?
We do plates special. We do plates, sandwiches by the pound. I'd say like our most popular item is like a 2-meat plate, which is obviously 2 proteins, and then you get 2 sides, get some white bread, pickles, onions. And then like we have an all meats, all sides kind of platter, which is like a big tray for like 2 or 3 people.
Nice.
Which has like almost all of our offerings on it, pretty much. We do that, but 2-meat plate is like the bell cow of what we do.
I think it works for a lot of people. I think that it covers all the bases, and it just makes it simple for people and makes it not so. Did you guys have trouble at any time getting to go containers? Was that right in the beginning of the pandemic?
I think we did. Yeah, we started just buying a bunch, and I remember like the gloves was an issue too.
Oh yeah.
We use a lot of gloves, and we had to pre-order like a pallet once or twice and just have them hold it.
Gloves?
Yeah. And just have them hold it in their warehouse, and we would just pick from it whatever we needed.
It's so weird. Someone was mentioning to me, like, remember the cruise ships when people were stuck on, I'm like, God, that feels like so long ago. Yeah. And that was just this year.
We were in Australia like a week before the lockdown happened.
You guys were?
Yeah, we were there for we were supposed to be participating in Meatstock.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which yeah, so we got flown out there, and we were supposed to participate, and it was, can't remember the date exactly, but it was like we had gotten there earlier in the week, and then that Saturday was Meatstock. And I think on Thursday Trump banned travel to Europe. Okay. And we were like eating ramen in a ramen shop. And, oh shit, we got to get out of here. And
the restaurant started calling, like the wives started calling. He had a small child, and my wife was pregnant.
Oh no. Because there was a chance that you weren't going to be able to come back, right?
Yeah, we were freaking out.
And then we had just found out that we were on a walk along the beach or something, and we were talking to this guy. And so, long story short, we found out that Tom Hanks,
yeah,
was at this restaurant the night before we ate there, and he just tested positive. So we started like freaking out, and we thought we were never going to get home. We were on the phone with the airline for like 8 hours.
Not even exaggeration, 8 hours.
Scary.
And we never got a hold of them. We never got them on the phone after 8 hours.
So did you guys commandeer your own plane?
We just showed up at like 5:30 in the morning, and we actually, it was the easiest thing we did. I wish we would have taken advantage of the day before, but we were in the hotel for half the day, like worried,
stressing
about
out.
We wasted our last day in Australia in a hotel room trying to get airlines on the phone, and they charged us for a change fee too, which is, thanks Qantas.
Yeah, which that. Is yeah, that's always
cool. Yeah, there was like no one on these flights. And they charged us like $300 a ticket to change our flights home because of this damn pandemic.
What airline was that?
What's that? Yeah, Qantas Airlines. If you're in a pandemic, you might not want to fly with them.
We can't fly back to Australia now. Yeah, I think
yeah,
they're
they
still.
Don't want us there.
Yeah, we won't. You can't go to Australia until 2021, anyways. That's really weird. I know, because I remember like Daniel Vaughn was stuck in Peru, I think, and there's like there's so many things that have happened since you guys were stuck that it's hard to like compartmentalize all the different things, but like the cruise ships, people were trapped on cruise ship, people were stranded in different countries. I know they're like used the military was getting people out.
I think that's what jogged our memory when you said cruise ships, because we were staying in Sydney for 2 nights, and there was like 6 cruise ships just docked in the, just anchored in the bay right there, and
locked up.
Yeah, just, I mean, there was one with like yellow tape all over it, like, don't come on the ship.
So crazy.
It was a little nerve wracking.
Yeah. Because at that time, too, you didn't know, like, if you were at, like, a restaurant that Tom Hanks was the next day, or you didn't know if you can get it. We didn't know.
Yeah, we had no idea, like, how contagious it was, mm-hmm. and, like, if you got it from there or whatever. And when we decided to book the flight back and get out of there, Wayne Miller was heading in to be the other, like, American barbecue joint that represented the U.S. at Meatstock. And he had just gotten on the flight when all this started happening.
We were texting, and he's like, we're like, oh, man, weather's great. We can't wait till you get here. We're going to have an awesome weekend. And then, like, 2 hours later, I think he had just taken off, and we were getting, you know, the NBA or March Madness was canceled. Mm-hmm.
Then
an hour later, it was like European travel ban, and then 2 hours later, it was like the NBA, that game that somebody tested positive in the locker room or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're like, oh, no. We started calling, and his phone was going straight to voicemail. And it was
did he land and then fly at the flight?
Yeah, right, like, he got here and turned right around.
Yeah.
But he literally, like, did not enjoy Australia, like, at all. We actually had a couple days to enjoy it, and it was awesome. But Wayne got, like, the super short end of the stick. And then Jay Beaumont, who put on the event, like, he took a huge loss on the whole thing. Oh, like, you know, this thing was days away. He rented equipment, proteins, like, the whole nine. Like, he just lost his ass on it.
Terrible.
We hope he's doing all right, but you know, it was a really shitty thing for everybody, obviously.
That is just that's insane. I have a friend now that works with Wayne. I should text him and have him just recount it with him, because that'd be so interesting to know what he thought. Because too, like, I guess you fly and you have news sometimes on a plane, like, you can kind of see what's happening, but it's like almost like 9/11. They just grounded all the planes right then. Like, you guys were part of, like, you're part of the story now, at least within your world. That's, you were within, because for me it was just, I was watching it all on TV, to seeing the mayhem and just worrying about my small little world. You were stuck potentially in Australia. What if you got stuck for like a month or something? Oh, that would have been just,
we were worried about that.
Yeah,
sure.
No one, like, I don't think anybody would have paid for your hotel. You would have just been
yeah, they would have kicked us out probably too.
Yeah, yeah. Then you live on the streets of Australia. This would have been a much different interview.
Yeah.
Well, let's to wrap this up, what are all the best ways to get hold of you guys, and what are your hours?
7 days a week, 11 to 9.
Okay.
Best way is probably either direct message on Instagram, or you can email probably info@blueoakbbq.com or catering@blueoakbbq.com.
The website is blueoakbbq.com, and order online.
We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Usually if you send a message on Instagram, it's, you're talking to me. Phil's also on there sometimes. We also have happy hour 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
Cool.
3 to 6. And come by and see us.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've wanted to talk to you guys obviously for a long time, but when people ask, because there's not 1,000 options like there are in other places for barbecue in New Orleans, and I've always pointed people towards you, just from knowing you guys and hearing great stuff from other people. I mean, I'm excited to actually really visit. There's, you know, hopefully the fog will lift eventually and we can travel again. But I would love to hang out with you guys and see your place. Awesome. And
yeah, come by, and if you do, you know, we can help set you up somewhere.
Cool.
If you need, we'll give you a list of restaurants, all that. You can come by for Hogs for the Cause.
Yeah, are you guys? But you guys are doing some festival coming up, right? Or some kind of event coming up? Saturday. I thought you have something in a couple nights. There's something online. Like, I thought there's like a
day. We're doing a charity event that's actually affiliated with Hogs for the Cause. It's called Hog Stars, something or another.
Something like that, yeah.
And we're getting together with a bunch of other guys that participate in Hogs for the Cause, we're curating a plate with a bunch of different people's dishes for like a drive through, and all proceeds will go for Hogs for the Cause, which is a charity organization that benefits pediatric brain cancer outreach.
Gotcha. Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty small benefit. Like, well, it's pretty micro benefit, but it's like helps out tremendously with all families that deal with this stuff, and they do a great job. And,
That's great. Is Hawks for the Cause, is that Tank? Is that
he comes he, down, yeah. He
came last time, maybe.
With, I always see him. He shows up at places, I always see.
Yeah, yeah.
He stands out.
He's a wild guy.
He's funny.
Yeah, we've messaged. I've wanted to talk for a while. We've messaged back and forth. He's funny.
Fox Brothers, they come down here. Aaron from Home Team comes down.
Oh, cool.
Usually the Peg Leg crew will come.
Well, 2 years ago, we had Fijis Barbecue. Aaron and Patrick came down. We had Jordan Jackson from Bodacious. Cody and Chris from Hoodoo Brown. We had Anthony from Swig and Swine come. We had Galen Iverstein from Iverstein Farms in Baton Rouge. It was like the super team that we got together 2 years ago, and that was a lot of fun. I don't know.
Well, hopefully you could do that again in a year or so. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be, and that's what's sad too about this whole thing is that people can't get together because like those connections are great. You love those people. That's what makes this whole barbecue world fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you guys for sitting down and taking time. Because you do work every day. It's you guys are opening pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we're opening 30 minutes.
38 minutes or something. 37. Well, have a great day. Thanks so much. Hopefully, I'll see you guys real soon. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so far. All right, take care. And this is, and actually, I just cut my hair myself. This was 3 days ago. It looks kind of like a normal haircut, right?
You're a braver man than me.
That is flint. It was so hot here. It's been like 110. And
where are you exactly in California?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I'm little northwest, but I'm still in LA County. Oh. So good to see you guys. So good. Yeah. Nice to meet you. And